There was a kid in the cast that I thought was pretty good looking.
Oh, no.
I didn't know he had a mic on. Like, I think they said, like, he's 12. He wasn't actually 12, but he was pretty young. Oh. And I was like, oh, okay, well, he's still cute. And it got picked up on the mics, and he was upstairs. So I came back upstairs, and they were like, yeah, everybody heard that. I was like, okay, well, that's
Podcast.
This is Ruth Garman, and you're listening to the MHS Podcast. The podcast is a part of Bobcat Beat, and you can find more news, sports, and stories on the Bobcat Beat website. I'm Ruth Garman, and today I am here with the student directors of Arsenic and Old Lace, Caitlin Isle and Lydia Lake. Thank you for joining me here today, ladies.
Thanks for having us. Excited to be here.
All right, we're just going to hop right into it. The play is Arsenic and Old Lace, as we just stated. Why did you guys choose Arsenic and Old Lace for the winter play?
I don't know. I'd never heard of the play before.
Really?
And Caitlin introduced it to me.
Yeah, my family has a VHS of it, and we watched it a lot when I was a kid. And I remembered it being really funny. And my uncle had been in the play before, so I knew it was a play.
Had you seen him perform in it?
No. This was before I was born.
but he did it.
Yeah, but he did it. And so when we were looking for plays, that was something that I remembered, and we watched the movie. And we both really liked it. So.
Yeah, it was funny. We really wanted to do a cast that had equal roles of females and males, because it's something that's hard to find in theater, is casts that have big women's roles. And we did, the musical had a big woman's role in a couple of them, which is good. But we both wanted to do something that was equal. So we chose Arsenic and Old Lace, and we gender-bended a couple of the roles to fit what we wanted. And, yeah, that's how we picked it, I guess.
And how did the auditioning process for that? Because I heard that several, like, quite a few people auditioned for it. How was, like, the audition process going?
The worst part of the whole play was the audition process.
It's stressful having so many people, especially when you know who they
are.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't want to pick favorites.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing. What was the audition process like for, like, the auditionees? Trying out.
Well, you come into the drama hallway, and our drama council is there. They're very lovely, and we love them all. They're really helpful. And they'll give you a script, right? And
then you sign up for a time, and you go in on your time.
Oh, yeah, you have to do that beforehand.
Yeah. Okay.
So your name, the character you're auditioning for, the scripts, they have different scripts for the different characters. And so we give you a little bit that we want you to read, and you read it.
Do you have the script when you read it, or do the auditionees have to memorize it beforehand?
It's either or.
Yeah, they don't have to memorize it. A lot of people do have it memorized, because, I mean, I don't know what the word is, but a lot of people think it looks better in audition to have it memorized.
And does it look better?
If we don't, if we've never seen you act before, then yes, because we know that you can memorize. But, like, if they've already been in a play before...
And you've seen them do it.
Yeah.
It's more efficient.
Yeah. And also, it's like, if they had a good audition, but they were reading off a script, we weren't really taking into account the fact that they didn't memorize.
So. Didn't really write down who was
I don't think I even remember who was memorized or who wasn't.
Well, and it's stressful, too, working with other students who are your age, because then you're like, well, if they hate this, what are they going to think about me?
Yeah, like, if they're like, why are they doing that?
Then do they listen to you well?
Yeah. The cast is really good at listening to us, but, like... And we haven't had anyone be like, I don't like this, but I'm just always, like, in their heads. I'm sure. Like, I feel like if I was being directed by a student director, or if they would do something, I would do it. But in my head, I'd be like, I don't think that looks good, okay. Yeah. So, but they're a really good cast.
And what exactly is blocking for people who don't know what
it's
it is?
It's just where you move. Like,
we tell them what...
Like, setting out how it's supposed to look and how they're supposed to move on stage.
Mm-hmm. And, like, with what lines they move when.
Yeah.
Sometimes how to say lines if it needs to be said in a specific way, but we try not to.
Blocking it's really hard, but it's also really fun because we can do, like, there's a little bit of, like, romanticism in this play, and that's been fun to block just because you're like, I'm going to block this. It's like a rom-com. Like, you're like...
You're going to block the rom-com?
Yeah, you're going to block, like, a kiss. Like, it's like, you want it to be smooth and anyways...
How does that work when you're, like, blocking, like, your romantic scenes? How do the actors feel about that? do you know, like, their opinions on it? Or
we try to keep it a low pressure. Like, you don't have to get super close yet. You don't have to.
Yes.
Like, there's kissing in the script, and they just high five.
They high five.
They're going to have to kiss.
And they're eventually. Friends. Like, are too romantic. Like, they're, yeah. And they're both really cool. They're really chill people. But, I mean, I've never had a stage kiss, and it does not look appetizing.
The stage kisses do not look appetizing.
During practice, because it's just like, you're like, so, you're like, going for it, and then you're like, all right, just high five.
Going for the stage kiss and end up with a high five.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen during the actual show.
Yeah. That, I mean, could be funny.
Lydia and Caitlin, who normally blocks the kissing scenes that you do?
I don't know. Who do you think? I feel like it's a mix. I really like watching rom-coms. I don't know if Caitlin does. Do you like
watching rom-coms?
Yeah. So we just kind of... We'll have them do something, and then I've asked for their input a couple of times, and I think it's because it's such a, like, an intimate thing. Not that it's that intimate, but we want their input on how they think this will work. And also, a big part of theater is knowing your own character. Like, I know how I would play the character, but how would they play the character? So we want them to tell us how they think this would play out. So it's just a collaboration of us plus the characters. If it doesn't feel natural, then it's not going to look natural because they won't be doing it and feeling like it's themselves. So that we have to change it if they're like, I'm walking too fast when I say this line. Okay, well, we can figure out how to slow down and get them to where they need to go.
So I've heard that the drama hallway has been kind of dubbed the kissing hallway. What's with that?
I've actually never heard that before. I'm going to be so honest. Have you heard that before?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
I think...
Why doesn't it surprise you?
Well, I don't... There's so many things in the auditorium and the theater that sometimes people sneak around.
Ah.
I
sneak around, you say. Where are people normally sneaking around to?
The one infamous story is, I don't know, it dates back like 20 years.
But we still want to hear it.
Yeah, well, we'll tell it. So me and Caitlin both work spotlight sometimes. And in the spotlight booth, we used to have a couch. It's a very, very comfortable couch. Like, I have taken a nap on that couch. But the story is that 20 years ago, Mr. Hibbard went up on the elevator... And there was a couple up there just kissing.
On that couch in the light
booth. On the couch. We don't know how they got up there because the door is always locked. The elevator has a pin.
Were they drama kids or just like...
He wouldn't tell us who they were for the sake of...
So they probably privacy. Were. Like, they were like drama kids and they got
they
up there.
They probably were, yeah. But when Snowgrove took office, if you will... He removed the couch, and I think that's probably for the best.
He's like all the way to the dumpster.
Yeah, it was
he
a really
threw it
comfortable
away.
Couch. Yeah. But now there's just swivel chairs, which are actually really nice for working lights.
Yeah, really nice.
But
the couch is gone, like the infamous couch, where things have happened that no one wants to know. It's happened up there.
I don't know. I've never seen anybody absolutely going at it in the drama hallway, but I'm sure it's happened. We always have to have a PDA disclaimer at the beginning of
the
musicals.
Musical,
the musical is rough for people who are dating.
But, how so? How is it rough?
Well, I mean, if you're with somebody, for what? How many hours are you with somebody if you're dating and you're doing the musical, too? I'm trying to think. You're at school at 8, and you go home at, like, 6 or 7.
Six, yeah.
So it's, like, 11 hours. I don't know. People sometimes get a little bored.
A little bored. They have
a
bit too much fun.
Stressful situation. Yeah. Adrenaline. I don't know, man.
So is that why it's called the kissing hallway now?
I guess. I have yet to see that happen, but...
So how were you guys chosen to be the directors of Arsenic and Old Lace, the winter play?
So we're both the co-presidents of the Drama Council.
What exactly is the Drama Council? Because I hear it like referenced a lot, and I have no idea what it is exactly.
The Drama Council, they organize auditions. Like, that's why we have people sitting up front at a table, and they help people know what they need to do.
For all auditions or just the
winter play? Yeah, for all auditions, not just the winter play. And also with advertising, we help with that. Sometimes we make posters or T-shirts. And we also just help, like, especially the musical, because there's so many people.
The musical's the busiest time for us.
Yeah, and we help, like, make sure that everyone knows what they need to do, what the rules are. If they need any help, then we're there. And it's also just nice to have people that are kind of assigned to be the friendly face of the drama department. And so, like,
there's
there.
Not a ton of friendly faces in the drama department.
Well, no, but we're there for the new people so we can help them feel more safe and like they have a friend.
And everybody in Drama Council has a job. So we have like an advertising manager, a social media manager, lights technician, makeup, tech, sound, costumes. So it's just kind of a way that Mr. Snellgrove can, what's the word?
Divert?
Delegate. Yeah. Delegate, yeah. Delegate. And we don't really have I guess my job is makeup, but I'm also co-president.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly do the presidents do?
I think the main thing is we direct the winter play. Mm-hmm. And usually there's only one president, but me and Caitlin just
decided to share the job.
So cool that we decided to share the job, yeah.
So when you guys aren't, like, in the fine arts, like, performing arts, what are you guys doing besides that? You mentioned your rom-coms. That you like watching your rom-coms.
My rom-coms, yes.
What type of, like, rom-com do you like to watch the most? Like, is there a certain movie?
My favorite rom-com is 10 Things I Hate About You. But I think it's mostly because of Heath Ledger.
Oh. What about you, Caitlin? What is your favorite rom-com to watch?
I don't know if I have a favorite rom-com to watch. I'm not a super avid rom-com watcher, but I am a fan of movies. I do like... I like watching Planet of the Apes.
No, not Planet of the Apes again!
The Muppets. Yeah.
So you like watching the classics, and Lydia's all for romance.
2000s, man. Time to live in.
What's, like, the most embarrassing thing that has happened to either of you during, in, like, the drama department?
A public podcast. Yeah, you go first.
I don't know if this is the most embarrassing, but it's the one that, like, lives in my head a lot. Last year, I was in Clue. I was Mrs. White. And there's this one line where she's being accused of murdering someone.
Yeah.
And she says, like, just because I hated him doesn't mean that I murdered him. But on one of the nights, I messed it up and said, just because I murdered him doesn't mean that I... And then I stopped. And I was like, just because I hated him doesn't mean that I murdered him. And
I think
funny.
It was actually there that night. Yeah. It would have got such a good reaction, just the laughter.
Yeah. It was just really embarrassing to have messed up, like, the one line that needs to be in order.
But hey, it worked. It was really funny. I don't think anyone really considered or like noticed it as a mess up though, because
that was such a good time.
How about you, Lydia?
Mine, I have a couple. Mine are nothing big. I think one, I misspell things a lot, so that's definitely been something that like I'll send out a message like during the musical. There's definitely a couple times where I'd send a message to like the parents on the GroupMe.
Oh, heavens.
And someone would be like, "You spelled that wrong," and I was like, "Dang it,
grammar police."
Yeah, there's. I mean, I have a bad habit of talking, just like always. I just love to talk, as you can tell. But when you're in the auditorium and you have a mic on, you aren't supposed to talk. And there's definitely been a couple of times that I've been saying something and it got picked up on the mics. Not during a performance, I don't think. But like when we're using mics and they're like, "We heard you." And I'm like, "What did you hear?" And they're like, "I don't know, man." But like, it wasn't something you want public. And I was like, "Dang it." Because there's lots of drama happening in the drama department. And someone's going to talk
drama
about
department?
It.
Exactly.
So, that gets picked up sometimes. So just a lot of little things.
Do you know anything that has been picked up that you probably wouldn't want picked up?
Not in this drama department, but...
In this drama department?
So I was in Newsies a couple summers ago, and there was a kid in the cast that I thought was pretty good looking.
Oh, no.
I didn't know I had a mic on, and I was downstairs, and for the record, they were doing mic checks, and they didn't tell me.
Oh.
So I didn't even know. And I was taught in the dressing room. Someone was like, "So, like, this kid," I was like, "Oh, yeah, he's really cute. Like, he's really, really cute." And someone said, like, I think they said, like, "He's 12. He wasn't actually 12, but he was pretty young. Oh. And I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, he's still cute." And it got picked up on the mics, and he was upstairs. So
and
I came back upstairs,
this.
And they were like, "Yeah, everybody heard that." I was like, "Well, that's that."
So what did that kid think? Did, like, he
I didn't talk to him about it ever, and I never will, because I don't want him to associate me with that. I still know the kid. I've seen him a couple of times. So.
Just never talked to him?
Yeah, I've talked to him, just not about that. And I don't think I ever will. It's the mutual understanding of we both know what happened,
but
we're not going to talk about it. So.
So we've been talking about arsenic and old lace, obviously, and that's why we've been doing this interview. But when is it, and how much are the tickets?
So it's February 6th, 7th, and the 10th.
At what times?
So that's Thursday, Friday, and then the Monday. At 7 p.m. all of the nights, and it is,
yeah.
But it is limited seating because it's on, like, the seats are on the stage, so if you want a ticket, buy it, early.
But also, because it's limited seating, it's going to be cool seating. We're doing an in-the-round theater, so the stage is in the middle. There's four sides of seating.
There's four sides of seating.
So you feel like you're in the set. It's going to be really cool, and it's been really fun to block like that. Yeah. So,
what is Arsenic and Old Lace about?
Arsenic and Old Lace is about these two little old ladies. They're really cute. They live in Brooklyn, I believe.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Yeah. And they're like just old little aunts. Their whole personality is they're just such good people. They have so much charity and love in their hearts. And their nephew, they have three nephews. One of them is a guy who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt, full-fledged, no doubts. He's like, I am Teddy Roosevelt. And that's how he plays the whole show as. And
Teddy Roosevelt.
One of them is a playwright, and one of them is, I don't even know what you'd call him, a murderer.
Yeah.
So, do you want to keep?
Yeah, but the main character, Mortimer, their nephew, he comes in and he discovers a body, and he finds out that his aunts, as a charity, have been taking old men into their house that they think are lonely and sad, and they poison them and then bury them in their cellar.
So they just casually kill old men because they think they're lonely.
They think they're doing them a favor. They're like, yeah, we're going to help you out, man.
Wow. That is something else.
There's a lot of other elements at play. Some bodies get mixed up at one point. A little romance in there.
How do you mix up dead bodies?
Don't ask me, man.
Nephew comes in and he tries to take the house, and he also has a body that he's trying to get rid of, and so some things get switched around. It's very funny. It's a little bit morbid, but it's played to the humorous side.
It's played in the sense, like, the whole show, the ants are like, why would we have not done anything wrong here.
Yeah.
Like, we're innocent. We're just doing them a favor,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, they think they're great people for it, and the nephews are like, what is
Mortimer's
happening?
Going crazy the entire time.
And then Elaine comes in, who's the fiance in the romance, and she's like, why are you going crazy? And you can't tell her because it's a dead body, so there's that at play, too. Lots of working moments. Mm-hmm. Anyways. And how you get tickets. How do we get tickets?
I believe you can get them from mhs.ludus.com.
Yes.
Or you can come in person. If you come in at 6:30, the doors will be open.
Doors open at 6:30?
Yes. You can buy tickets.
I have a QR code on the posters.
There should be.
QR code on the posters. And posters,
the posters
will be going up.
No.
Nope.
They'll
be going
will be up soon, though.
Yeah. As soon as we get them printed.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming out here and letting us interview you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
this is fun.
Thank you for listening to the MHS podcast. I'm your host today, Ruth Garman. And thank you again to our student directors, Lydia Lake and Caitlin Isle, for coming out. And make sure to check out Bobcat Beat on and all of their socials.